But I want to read a verse or two before I show you a video. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 said, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches." But here it is. "But on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." That's important on Thanksgiving, to be aware of that. That God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. That life is good because of the Lord. And He encourages that in our lives. And so I've called it, "Thank God for Pumpkin Pie." And I thought, what's nicer than a slice of pumpkin pie with whipped cream on a rainy day and a good cup of coffee to go along with it? A few years ago, Val and I searched over the entire city, the length and breadth of this city, looking for a pumpkin pie that matched. It was the king of pumpkin pies. And I won't even tell you what it was. I'll let her, you can see Val after and say, "Where did you get the best pumpkin pie?" Now, of course, it's a subjective thing, right? What way you like it, maybe someone else likes it with a bit of cinnamon, and, you know, there's just different ways to approach it. But check with Val, and she'll tell you where the search took us. All right? So, I guess what I'm suggesting is that all of our joys are different. For one, it's laughter with a friend. For others, it's playing a especially good game of tennis. For others, it's listening to your favorite jazz music. For others, it's a lovely walk on the seawall. And I say, all this, according to the Bible, all this is common grace. These elements of life and joy and beauty are spread out by God for the enjoyment of all, both Christian and non-Christian. You don't have to be a Christian to appreciate it, but I'll tell you in a few minutes why it does help in some ways to enhance the experience even more so. But Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, this is what He said. "For He makes His sun shine on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." So all the blessings and gifts and kindnesses of the Lord call forth thankfulness. It makes us thankful. Watch this clip. We'll see if it. Let me know when wave and holler and point. So here's the thought that would have been there and perhaps could have been. I'm still thankful. That if the blessings are for all, we're getting together with some friends over this season. And if the blessings are for all, if the blessings are for them and for us, how is life different for the Christian? So, or is our enjoyment of all these things somehow basically wrong or unscriptural? Should we really be enjoying life? Should we really be filled with life? Should we be that way? Or is that something wrong about that, something unscriptural about that? Was the little old New England lady right when she commented after eating ice cream for the first time in her life? She said, "It tastes so good, it must be sinful." No, she was wrong. She was wrong because according to the Bible, she should have said, "It tastes so good, it must have come from God." Everything good comes from God. James chapter 1 and verse 17. "Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Every good gift. In my life, I've had some wonderful, wonderful gifts over the years. So many wonderful things. People and experiences and wonderful good times. Times when we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And those things are part of everybody. But it came, if it's a good gift, it came from above. It came down from heaven. That's why the old New England lady was wrong. "To taste the good, it must be sinful." No, it's so good, it must be from God. Another one of those things that's come down from heaven, from God. Good gifts are from above. The giver is God. I must remember that my whole life, whatever is happening, to say, Lord, thank you for all the wonderful things, the blessings, so many blessings. So good gifts are from above. The giver is God. So we say, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks on this Sunday at Valley Church, but it goes beyond that. Tomorrow we're to give thanks. And a matter of fact, most days you could start your day by saying, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all the things that have happened today. I give you praise. Now, of course, the question is, perhaps God, who is the giver, maybe he doesn't intend these gifts for his children. Perhaps asceticism. Asceticism is his will for his children. In other words, deny yourself. Live a harsh, austere life. Wear secondhand clothes. Never indulge. Keep yourself separate from the gifts, and especially keep yourself separated from the world. Now, there are people, there are Christians that live like that, that they can't really enjoy life to its full because there's just this sense that we need to be different, but not in. I always think that's the wrong kind. I was raised in Christian circles with differentness. If difference was a virtue, we certainly would have had the prize for that. That's for sure. Yikes. So I'm glad we're not like that anymore, as I don't think we are. So how do we enjoy our gifts? And these things that come to us, blessings, favors, joys, good times, great to be alive. How do we enjoy our gifts and yet still please God? If we're not into asceticism, where we're flogging ourselves, you know, to get closer to God, but instead of just thanking him and praising him for all these good things, how do we do it in such a way that it pleases him? How can we enjoy the beauty of the earth and the gifts that come our way in such a way so as to please the Lord? And I wrote down four things, and maybe even five things that I believe that we'll say together. Maybe we may not say pumpkin pie, but you'll get the drift of it. Thank God for pumpkin pie. Thank God for the blessings that we have bestowed upon us. So here's how we do it. Number one, by recognizing God as their source. Giving God credit. God may scatter his gifts upon the just and the unjust, but it's his children who see him beyond the gifts. We glorify God when we thank him and when we praise him for all he gives us. God is our source. Remember that. God is our source. I need to remember that. God is my source. My employer is not the source. My rich uncle is not the source. God is the source of all the blessings. And so we simply recognize it. That came from God. That thing that worked out was a real blessing. That came from God. God, I give you thanks. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed. Aren't you over? I'm just overwhelmed by things that are so beautiful and so wonderful. You can hardly believe it. Just so precious and so special. But to say, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all the things that you do. And I think sometimes we just literally are speechless. Lord, I don't know how to thank you. The way you answered that prayer, the way you watched over me, the way you allowed this to work out and that to work out, all those things that happened, Lord, thanks. Thank you, God. That's all we do. Boy, that's how you honor God. Doesn't matter how many possessions you have or don't have. When you have a grateful heart and you credit God as the source of your success, right? He's the source of our success. When we recognize that, he's magnified, he's glorified, and he loves to bestow things upon us. As grateful children, we come to him and we say, Lord, you're the best, and I belong to you, and I thank you. So number one, recognizing God as the source. Number two, by thanking him daily for the gifts, for the rain and the sun and the moon and the birds and the apple seed. I should break into song here. I was looking at this clip for a film, a different film, And it came across. I wasn't even looking for it, but do you remember St. Francis of Assisi in the film that was in where it was called Brother, Son, Sister, Moon? Anybody remember that? He was just so grateful for creation that he put creation on the same level as people. And so it was Brother, Son, that's his fellow brother, and Sister, Moon. And I think there was Sister Wren, too. She was a bird, but he had names for them. And I no doubt that's what his life was like that. So all of these things, we give praise to our Lord. Sometimes our thank you, Father, our thank you, dear Lord, is an inner expression shared by no one. Haven't you ever come home at the end of a day and you got into bed and you said, thank you, God. Thank you for today. Such a good day. Such a great day. And I'm going to thank you. And you find yourself saying, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know what to say. You're so good. You're so kind. And other people see, maybe you're not even supposed to share with anybody else what that was. That was just between you and God, where you sense the grace and mercy and kindness of the Lord. And in that sensing, it was just a silent thing, shared with no one else. But my heart being overwhelmed by God's love and by God's blessing. It's marvelous. It's wonderful in every way to have a relationship like that with the Lord. Thirdly, we honor the Lord and we bless the Lord with gratitude when we use the gifts that he gives us in such a way that honors God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, the writer says, let your moderation be known to all. So if there are great things in your life that God's blessed you with and shone his blessings upon you, we're not to get crazy with it. So whether it's strawberries or sex or gardening or hobbies or sailing or hiking, every one of these things have their place in the divine scheme of things. And every gift should be used for God's glory. It's not given just so you can be self-centered or I can be self-centered. It's given to us so that we would glorify God at the end of the day. Thank you for your supply. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. God, I give you praise for these things. I'm honoring you and blessing you. And yet I don't want to be controlled by the wrong thing. Every gift should be used for God's glory. Let it be for the glory of God, everything that would happen. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 31, he says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. If you can't do that, you can't expect these blessings. I think it's one of the things is, Lord, it comes back to you, God. I'm going to thank you for everything in my life. I'm going to thank you for the little things and the big things, and I'm going to do it for the glory of God, for his name's sake, for his glory, his praise. So, in other words, every gift that God that comes down from heaven, these wonderful things, it should accomplish a purpose. Whether you're watching detective movies, or sports, or hiking, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do it for his glory and honor. And now some things you can't because it doesn't glorify him. And that's a good clue. But we want to do things for the glory of God so that our enjoyment spills back to God again. If you've had a blessing in your life, you thank God for it. But just to be aware that you're modern, don't be carried away by something good. I think I've said this before, but I used to know a man that he decided that he needed to do something with his family, wanted to do family events, which is valid. And God blessed him with a fair amount of money, so he bought a boat, quite a big boat, actually, a large boat. And they went out, had a wonderful time. Then he went again. Of course, he had to justify it. He said, I had to do something with this boat. How can I explain this boat to everybody? So So he took people else, took other people out. But pretty soon, he started this in about April or May, and by September and October, he hadn't been in church for 6 months. He said, actually, it was one of the driest periods of my life. I started off doing something good, and I was giving God thanks for this beautiful boat as we head out for another weekend. Let's go. And he said, then I realized that we were drifted. We had drifted. We could even sense it. We had drifted from God. Somehow the gift became too big. It became beginning to control their lives instead of letting it being a part of it. And I think that's it's very hard to get that just right many times. But I understand that. Something that if it takes you from the Lord, it's not a good thing. It must be, so God, I thank you, but show me how to walk moderately, that I'm not an offense to anybody else either by my eating or by my drinking. So number four, we honor God, we glorify him by refusing to come under the control of any gift that we receive. And that 1 Corinthians 6:12 is such a good, all things, Paul said, now what a statement. All things are lawful for me. He said, I'm under no law. He said, I'm a child of God. There's nothing, I can do anything I want to do. I'm saved, born again. All things are lawful for me. But here it is. But not all things are helpful. Not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, he says, but I will not be enslaved by anything. And this is where a simple life where there's nothing enslaving you. And I could ask this morning here, is there anything enslaving you? If it's enslaving you, I would give you an invitation to come and stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want these things to enslave me. I want my life to be pure and holy, and yet I don't want it to control me. What's in my life that controls me? What have I got out of sync? What is it that it started off as maybe a good thing, but by the time it's done, it becomes, it's mastering me and it's enslaving me. And so Paul said, it's not a matter of not doing it. I can do it, he said. I can do anything I want. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. But he said, those things are lawful, but they're not helpful. They're lawful, but they're not helpful. And we look at your life, look at my life to say, is there anything that I'm giving God thanks for that I need to tailor it a bit and temper it a bit because it's too big a part of my life and I don't want to. I have a pastor friend who told me, he said, I was watching the end of a hockey game. I think it was hockey. And he said that the phone rang. And he said to his wife, somebody wants you up at the hospital. He said, tell them I'm busy. Tell him I'm busy. The game is just about over. Tell him I'm busy. So he's busy right now. Can you take a number? He'll call you. Said, I sat there, but I couldn't enjoy it. I couldn't enjoy it. He said, I was busy. I didn't lie about that, but I should have gone and visited this poor soul in the hospital. But I didn't. So finally, of course, you know how I sat there and watched it. Pretty soon, it's miserable. Completely and totally miserable. And gets his coat on, heads for the hospital. Well, I can tell by your smiles that we've all been there, where we got it out of whack. The good game became an albatross around his neck. No gift should control us. So how do we carry on this thing? By being as thankful to God, whether the gifts are present or not. Or not. Some things might be absent. See, right now, I haven't seen many blessings in my life. I haven't seen a lot of things fold up. But you will. But in the midst of it, while you're not seeing a whole lot of things coming your way, that you're able to give God thanks. Say, God, I thank you. I praise you. I'm looking to you, but God, I praise you and thank you. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, just such a powerful verse. For everything, there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And some now, maybe right today, you see scarcity and you see things in your life that you say, oh, I wish I was blessed more. You will be. You will be. These things don't come every day, all the time, but they come in periods. And, you know, if you've got a friend, if you know the Lord, that's the first thing, and you have a friend that you can hang out with, you're one of the richest people in the world. I'm one of the richest people in the world. I have friends. I know Christ and I have friends. How rich am I? People that would really go to bat for me. People who would go to bat for you. You're rich. And so even if you don't see everything maybe happening, that nice person thing that person got over here and someone else got there, you know how we covet. It's Christian coveting. Yes, I claim that in Jesus' name. That car, I claim that in Jesus' name. What? Well, maybe not. Maybe not. But there's a season where it will come around again and again and again. But if you have a friend and if you have a church, you know Christ, you are envied to be happy. You know, I can honestly say here, I can say this right from the depth of my heart, I'm happy. I'm really happy. I'm not happy because everything's going my way. I'm happy because I sense God in my life. And I'm rich as you are. And here we are together, hanging out, doing church together, eating pumpkin pie together. Why? Because we just recognize the richness of our lives. And what a blessing these things are. These things are. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. There's sometimes, well, let me just read it. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? When God says here, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Be blessed in your grandchildren. Be blessed in your kids. Be blessed in your job. Be blessed in that. May great, powerful things happen to you. When that happens, the point of it is that I would turn to the Lord in complete repentance of anything and everything. It's designed. If my neighbor, if good things happen to my neighbor, that's happened so they would come to Christ and say, God's been so good to me. And I've had people come up to me and said, I don't know him too much, but God's been good to me. God's been good to our family. So they say, God's been good to our family. And I said, you know why he's been good to you? Because he wants you. He's bestowed you. He doesn't punish you. He blesses you. And these riches, it's powerful to lead us to repentance so that we'd be close to the Lord. And so the greatest gift of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, tells us. Paul he's writing, and all of a sudden he goes kind of berserk. And he says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And then carries on. Wow, what a powerful thing that is. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. It's Jesus. Here's the favor of our lives. How is it that you came to know Christ? What grace that has been to you. You were not even looking for him. You were not even searching for him, perhaps. You just happened to stumble upon him. And now your life is enriched because you know the Lord. It's not because we go to church, but because we know the Lord. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift of salvation. I find myself praying often, thank you for the gift of salvation. So great a gift, so great a salvation. I thank you for that somehow you found me and brought me. And I say with you, God, on a Thanksgiving day, on a Thanksgiving Sunday, I say, thanks be to God for your inexpressible gift. It's inexpressible. It can't be defined close enough. You see, of all the things, all the blessings that God brings in our lives, and you know, there will be today and tomorrow, there will be thousands, oh, at least thousands of people that will gather around tables, and even secular people that say, why don't we just have a moment here? Maybe someone will say something you're thankful for. There'll be thousands. Was that, am I right? Thousands? Thousands of people. And somehow there's something in them that wants to say something. The only part I don't get, I mean, I get the thank you, God part, but what I don't get is when they don't claim to have any connection with the Lord, who, it's funny, isn't it? That who are you thanking? I want to say, I'm really thankful for my family. I'm really thankful for, you know, I'm really thankful. Yeah, okay, that's, but how about if I direct it to you, God? Thank you, God, for blessing our family. Thank you, God, for watching over us. See, there's eternity in our hearts, and because of that, there's something in us that wants to give thanks. I believe that. Secular, Christian, doesn't matter. There's something in them that they recognize how they've profited. They recognize how the hand of God has been upon them, even if they may not call him God. Right? They may not call him God. But there's something coming out of their hearts that I would like to think that they were grateful. They were grateful for what has happened in their lives. And I thought, and so Paul says, may that lead you to repentance. So there's eternity in our hearts that all of the special days, there are special days, aren't there? Just really good days. As a matter of fact, Val and I will often say, well, how was your day? How was your day? Good day. How was your day? Not so good. Some days are, but you have to take it by faith. But all of the special days and the good gifts from above, they all lead us wanting to feel the arms of Christ around us. They're not enough. The gifts and blessings from heaven, remember, every good gift comes from heaven. They're not enough. They give us taste. They give us flavors. We experience it a little bit, but it's not enough. It can never be enough. There can't be enough of a pumpkin pie and sex and and hobbies, and you might say, well, that would be really great. It would turn on you. For a while it would be okay, but then there's something else that's needed. And that is because eternity is in our hearts. We're happy with these things, right? We're overwhelmed by them. We're so blessed by them. But Lord, if you're not dead center, what does it all mean? If you're not dead center, Lord, in my life, then I've wasted my life. I've wasted my life. There's something just about this whole concept of being grateful and using all these gifts. But if it's that's all, then when this life ends, and you know we've had some funerals this last while, but they were beautiful funerals, in the fact that we brought the Lord into it, and it was. This person had a these people had a relationship with Christ. And so we know that, yes, their lives were blessed. God looked over them over the years. Wonderful, wonderful testimonies. And yet at the end of life, there they were, going on to something better, something more marvelous. They were going to be with the Lord. Wow. How marvelous is that? We're going to be with the Lord. All the other things were fine. They were great. They were blessings. But not such a great blessing as eternal life. Jesus came to give us eternal life. And you will have, you thank God. I hope you enjoy every gift that come down from heaven for you. I hope you're overwhelmed and blown away by it. And I hope there's trips and joys and relationships and fun and caring and music and outings and all. And you can keep talking about it all the time. I would wish that upon you. Be blessed. Be blessed in Jesus' name. But let your heart, let Christ be central. As you say, these things are great. I love my house. I love my car. I love my kids. They're great. Great things. But I thank God for you, Lord. You're the greatest. Nobody compares to you. I'm so thankful for you, Lord, and my relationship to you. And if you can say that, this is indeed a great day. Well, let's watch some video here. Let's see what comes up here. It's like a surprise. Is that other one available now?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, well, let's try it. This is a strongly Christian one. There's not so much, but you're gonna. It's impacting. So.
When I watch TV, it's just some shows that are pretend, and when you explore, you get more imagination than you already had. And when you get more imagination, it makes you want to go deeper in so you can get more and see beautiful things. Like it could, the path, if it's a path, it could lead you to a beach or something, and it could be beautiful.
You think this is just another day in your life? It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now, and the only appropriate response is gratefulness. If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life, and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well. Begin by opening your eyes and be surprised that you have eyes you can open. That incredible array of colors that is constantly offered to us for pure enjoyment. Look at the sky. We so rarely look at the sky. We so rarely note how different it is from moment to moment with clouds coming and going. We just think of the weather, and even of the weather we don't think of all the many nuances of weather. We just think of good weather and bad weather. This day, right now, it's unique weather. Maybe a kind that will never exactly in that form come again. The formation of clouds in the sky will never be the same that is right now. Open your eyes, look at that. Look at the faces of people whom you meet. Each one has an incredible story behind their face. A story that you could never fully fathom. Not only their own story, but the story of their ancestors. We all go back so far. And in this present moment, on this day, all the people you meet, all that life from generations and from so many places all over the world, flows together and meets you here like a life-giving water if you only open your heart and drink. Open your heart to the incredible gifts that civilization gives to us. You flip a switch and there is electric light. You turn a faucet and there is warm water and cold water and drinkable water. It's a gift that millions and millions in the world will never experience. So these are just a few of an enormous number of gifts to which we can open your heart. And so I wish you that you will open your heart to all these blessings and let them flow through you, that everyone whom you will meet on this day will be blessed by you. Just by your eyes, by your smile, by your touch, just by your presence. Let the gratefulness overflow into blessing all around you. And then it will really be a good day.
Want to come up? Margot just had an experience the other day, yesterday, whenever.
When I looked at the pictures in that movie and saw all the faces from all the different parts of the world, I was really blessed. And about 20 years ago, I felt like my world was falling apart. I was divorced and I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing, but God knew. And he was in charge. And most of you know that I'm very involved in ESL. And yesterday, something happened that kind of culminated in God's blessing to me. It was just an amazing thing. I was invited to the home of Russian Jewish Christians who invited me to celebrate Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, with them. And as we went to their house and sat in the little booth that he had built in the backyard with the leaves on the top of the trees, on the top, and as he had his little hat on, and he read from scripture in Russian, he told me, bring your Bible, and someone translated so I could find out where he was reading from. I was just so blessed. It was the most amazing cross-cultural experience I think I've ever had, and it really was a tremendous blessing for me. And I just thought, I saw how the family, that little family, there was a pastor and his wife and a Russian grandma and some children, and just a beautiful family experience, all sitting around the table together in this booth outside to commemorate their 40 years in the desert and to remember that God is the only thing that's permanent. It was such a blessing to me. So I just felt that, in light of what Owen has been talking about, it was appropriate to share that. Thank you.
Yeah, indeed. Is there anybody else who would like to share? You don't have to come to the front if you raise your voice. Just to give things that you're thankful for, and it's overflowing, your gratitude is overflowing to thankfulness. How do we cultivate that? It's a good question. Why don't you give her a microphone? She, there, now you can go.
I never have a lot. But it isn't expecting to be joyful or happy, but thinking, you know, I'm content. And it's as much a gift as the others.
Yeah, contentedness. Well, somebody else. Oh, sorry, Richard, yes.
I have so much to be thankful for. I was standing when Cam was singing a song. Seeking the Lord, as you know, I've got heart problem. I've had pain in my chest for the last 7 years. This young lady came up and prayed for me. She laid hands on me, and I felt God touch me. And as soon as she removed her hands from me, the pain in my chest is gone. So I thank the Lord.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Richard. Somebody else. Just want to give thanks for something. Yeah, Caroline. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Anita.
This is really simple, but it did happen yesterday. I have a little granddaughter called Jessie. She's very small. She's not being brought up in the ways and the knowledge of Christ, which does concern me. But yesterday, I was stuck in heavy traffic in the lower road, so I was absolutely stuck. And she started singing just by herself. She does not know any Christian songs other than the little ones I've taught her. And she was singing, I thank God for how you care for me. I thank God for how big you are. I thank God that you're watching over me by day and by night. And she made up this little song all wow. by herself. And I've been so concerned about her and what her future will be, and only God knows that. But I thank him for this little message that came from the back seat in heavy traffic. Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody else? Please, yes, please just raise your voice loud and clear. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Susan. Thank you.
Put your hand up, Anita.
Oh, Anita, yes. We keep forgetting you. Sorry, Anita. Didn't mean to neglect you.
A while ago, I was just sitting there thinking about the Lord, and he spoke to me. He said, you were first conceived in my heart. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb. And I look back to my life and I said, I was born in China and he brought me out. He had a purpose for me. I didn't know him when I came to Canada. I have no idea who God was. It was the Canadian people who taught me what God and the generosity and the compassion and the mercy. And I think the Lord beginning to put a search in my heart for him. And when he told me I was conceived in his heart, and I was so encouraged to say, he was with me even before I was a being. Yeah. He was there for us. And he brought us to himself. And I'm so grateful every day.
Oh, amen. Yeah, what a journey. What a journey it's been. Somebody else. Balcony. Okay, please. Barb. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else? No, please.
Standing there and the worship is going and the Lord said, if you're not going to lay down your hands, and he showed me his chest, and he said, if you're not going to do it, then the moment is missing. And I felt such a compassion that I have to do it, and I did it, and I didn't know what Lord is going to do, but Lord is amazing. So He wants us to be a deacon.
Yes. Indeed. I like this part. Hearing responses. Yeah, please.
Just, I'm very thankful this week because the Lord showed me. I've been feeling like I need to follow him, right? But I sensed that He was saying, you're not following my back. I'm up there and I'm facing you. You're coming into my arms. So that when I follow Him, instead of me thinking I'm following in His footsteps, this week it's been helping me because I feel like I'm going towards Him and He's facing me.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. Beautiful. One more.
I'm thankful that God made families and that this is a time where we can be together with our families.
Well, we have some coffee and we have some pumpkin pie. You get one each. One pumpkin pie. There will be some whipped cream with it. If children join us, kind of watch that so they don't go kind of crazy. So the Lord bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Happy Thanksgiving.